Follow-through in sports brings success. So, follow-through in life is the practice of what I believe which leads to its success. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. Follow-through in sports brings success. So, follow-through in life is a practice of what I believe which leads to success. We enjoy watching these dramatic, dynamic, fictional movies which have a lot of action in them and a lot of, not cartoon characters, but characters who are very realistic, but they're in these odd suits and odd things. They're from other planets and other space activities, and it's quite charming. You look at this here and you see these people running around. You know they're not human beings. They're characters that have been created on the drawing board, and you think to yourself, in a Walt Disney movie, in having the animation for the Walt Disney movie, he had to have these people. Every single movement of their arm or their leg or what have you had to show. And so they oftentimes didn't show the lower part or show the upper part, but they're very careful how they did this. Now, Walt Disney, who created this program of animation, is probably from the prehistoric centuries. I mean, it's only, how many years ago was he doing this? Let's say 20, 30 years ago?
In the 50s, I think.
54. So about 50 years, but when he had Mickey Mouse and so forth. And those prehistoric years were quite a long time ago as far as progress goes. Today, the creation of these movies with non-real people, but, you know, real-type people, is done quite differently from the way Walt Disney did it. Today, they have computers, and the computers are given information. The computer is given the information that the body is such a height. It's such a musculature. That's why they show the muscles so often, you know, and the chest and the body and so forth, legs. And the body muscles move in a certain way. Now, if every flex of a body muscle, which are outwardly shown, would have to be drawn separately, the experience of drawing them would be really amazing, really catastrophic, really magnificent. But they have a new device out now, and the new device is quite charming, quite amazing, and it is only in its early stages. And the device is that you draw these things, you put these dimensions on the computer, and then you tell the computer that you want the object to walk. You want the object to move. And so the computer, you say you want the object to get from this place to that place as quick as possible. Well, what does the object do? It curls up in a ball and rolls. Really. It gets as fast as it can. It does not interpret it as it must walk, or it must aggressively walk, or it must do these various other things. Now, those are emotional type of things. Now, they're put in there, too. They're put in there, too. How does the face look when it has a grimace on it? How does the face look when it's happy? How does the face look when it's sad? And all of these things are fed into the computer. Can you imagine what a monstrous computer that must be? Now, all these things are fed into that computer. And then the computer tells the program to do this. Or the program tells the computer to do this. And so the computer designs a man, designs a woman, designs an activity, maybe hundreds of people, all from one type, but each having a different motivation and movement to it, each flowing harmoniously with the other character so they don't run into each other. Now you think to yourself, is the computer thinking for itself? No. The computer is merely taking the information that you have given it and placing it into a relative usefulness and then applying it. Now, they had stick figures walking along. The stick figure would fall over. The stick figure would go topsy-turvy. Sometimes they had as many as 100 stick figures trying to get the stick figure to cooperate, to walk. And maybe the 80th stick figure would walk right. And so they take the program of the 80th stick figure and use it for the walking or whatever else they needed to do. Then they would put a body on it. They would put muscles on it, usually very well muscular, you know. And they would put a very handsome face on it, but a generic face, really. You think handsome merely because it is not offensive. It is just a normal, ordinary face that if you saw it on the street, you wouldn't think a thing about it. Now, the lead character, they give them a little personality. But the others, they want to make them look like robots. They want them to be less offensive, and yet more offensive because they're less offensive. Now, how does this come about? How does this come about that they can do that? Well, in their computer activity, they have found that by feeding certain things into the computer will attempt to come up with it. So now they have a new phrase that they are trying to use. And they're saying, here's a catalog of parts, human parts or physical parts, tabletops, nuts, bolts, wrenches, what have you. Here's a catalog. And here's what I want to accomplish. Out of that catalog, I want a table. And I want a table which is so high, so wide, with so much leg room underneath, made out of glass or wood or whatever I want it made out of. And I want this lovely table. And you just press the button on the computer. It takes the catalog where all the information is available, and it takes the parameters that you have given to it, and out comes the table you want, the real table. Then it can just be instantly molded, or at least it's on the screen. And that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. You see, now they're going to go into deeper levels. They're going to go into levels of the mind. How does the mind think? How does the mind come up with ideas? And what is the mind going to do when it comes up with these ideas? How is it going to use them? What benefit is it going to have in using them? So they create a human being that is on the drafting board, and they create a mind in that human being, and they give that mind all sorts of emotions, all sorts of intelligence, all sorts of ideas. And then they give the mind a scenario in which to express it, where it is a tragedy or a comedy or, you know, a normal activity. And the mind puts those things to work in the body or bodies that it's working on. Really amazing. We think it's fantastic. Well, now, I read these things, I hear these things, I know these things. And they're talking about in the next 500 million years, maybe billion years, million probably, Earth will possibly be uninhabitable because we've used up our natural resources or we've done this or done that. And we'll need to have another Earth to go and visit and colonize. And right now, the astronauts and the astrologers, astronomers are looking into space, and they're finding. When Carl Sagan was here, remember Carl Sagan? Carl Sagan, only about 20 years ago, he made many statements based upon his understanding and his intuition, and everyone laughed. And he said there are many galaxies out there, there's many universes surrounding our universe, and we will be aware of them. Well, now, since his passing some 10 years ago, we have found 105 universes, 105 that we had not known of before, because we have these telescopes and all of these things that are so fantastic. But now they have created a new telescope or a new gadget, whatever it is, and they can look at the stars in our galaxy or in other galaxies, and they can see a planet much like Earth would be, which has the same things that Earth has on it, atmosphere, water, things like that, and tell if it's inhabitable. And then the next big problem, they say, and of course this they accept as a foredrawn conclusion that they're going to find out. The next big problem, they say, is how will we get there? How will we get there? And at the moment, science has designed technology that will get people to a distant star system during our lifetime. Well, now, that's not too practical. Can you imagine spending your entire life in a spaceship going somewhere? I mean, how fascinating. I mean, the dogs would love to travel, yeah. But how fascinating. So they need to come up with something that steps beyond, and they will. But the something that steps beyond will have to move from the realm of science that is the sacred cow of humanity into something that is beyond the realm of science, something which is beyond the realm of physics, the realm of metaphysics. And when they begin to allow themselves the privilege to think in the area of metaphysics, they're doing it in a great degree already, but they don't call it that. They just call it physics that we are imagining. But it is physics. Now, the moment that they allow themselves to think, as Richard Bach said, perfect speed is being there. So that if they want to gather up their spaceship, they get in their spaceship and zing, they're there. They want to take along all the paraphernalia they want to take along and stuff like that, so they put it in their spaceship. And they have this monstrous spaceship that has no capacity to do anything. It's just cardboard walls, and so to speak, you know. It does not withstand the pressures of space. It does not withstand the pressures of atmospheric changes and stuff. But it doesn't have to, because instantly it is wherever it chooses to be, or we choose it to be. So, follow through in sports brings success. So follow through in life is the practice of what I believe, which leads to success. Scientists are coming up with a great deal of new knowledge these days, knowledge of the wonderment of what goes on in this world of ours. And science has always been the harbinger of bad news for religion and things like that. And it is well that it should, because religion, as we understand it, is a belief in something greater than we are, but not only a belief in it, that that belief is the belief, and no other belief has any strength. And right now, science is going through a very interesting metamorphosis in the realization that inbreeding in human beings is not a bad thing. It was only bad because it was not properly investigated. They did not see in individuals whether they had genes that might be damaging. Now, I would say the genes that we have that are damaging are far greater from Chernobyl, are far greater from X-rays. When people are given the CAT scan, they are more susceptible to cancer than before they have the CAT scan. The CAT scan reveals the cancer and shows where it is and everything else like that, but it also weakens the immune system. And in the weakening of the immune system, if the cancer is dormant, it becomes non-dormant. So this is what they're learning. And they're learning also that they can reach out into the mind and do wonderful things. They can teach a computer to accomplish things that they want to accomplish. Now, this is so basic and so wonderful, teaching computers to do what you want them to do, teaching computers to accomplish the goals that you have in your mind, teaching computers to send us to outer space, to have us travel at 3, 4, 10 times the speed of light, to have us do these things. It is just really spectacular. However, if we would take this same knowledge, this same conviction, and apply it to ourselves, apply it to our mind, and recognize that our mind has the capacity to do anything that we can teach a computer to do. We teach a computer to come up with fabulous sums and subtractions and figures and mathematics, and we don't even believe we can do it ourselves. But we don't believe the computer can't do it, so therefore it can do it. We do believe that we can't do it, so therefore we can't do it. Hence the day will come quite soon where we choose to go to other planets, go to other galaxies, and we will use the system that Richard Bach pointed out in Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Perfect speed is being there. We will instantly be wherever it is we want to be. Now, we've been given an insight into this with the creation of the pyramids. The creation of the pyramids was done by the mind, and it was done charmingly, but humanly, by the mind. And the mind was a very responsive, capable expression. And but it was only a few who believed it. It wasn't all of humanity who believed they had great minds. It was just a few. And so it is that today, just a few scientists believe in the greatness of the mind and believe in the greatness of their computers. And so only a few scientists will come up with these things. But it need not be so. If it is up to God Unlimited, University of Healing, we will teach the world that everyone is the creative cause of their universe. Everyone is a genius. We will teach them what I believe leads to success. Whatever I believe leads to success. We have seen it in our sports people. We have seen it in our scientists. We have seen it all around. Interestingly, Einstein married his first cousin. You know? Mm-hmm. And this interbreeding, intermarriage is something. And like Einstein said, he said, the theory of relativity is a real theory. I mean, it's a real thing as far as he's concerned. He said, but I find it very confusing today because we have wrapped up the theory of relativity with mathematics, and I don't understand it anymore. And this is what we do. We take the beautiful idea that all time and all space is here and now, which we know. Science tells us that, religion tells us that, and everything. And then we want to go and say, no. I think our biggest failure comes in making a statement such as this, when we know it's not true. There is a power greater than you are in the universe. You are the great power in the universe. There is no power greater than you are. But there is a power greater than you are if you don't take charge. But that doesn't mean you're not equal to that power the moment you take charge. This puts to odds the philosophy of some people. In fact, those are words that Ernest Holmes had used in his Science of Mind. But Ernest Holmes did not want people to worship that statement. Ernest Holmes said to his followers, and that was what always appealed to me so greatly, he said, our philosophy is open on the top. We are not bottled in by any statements, any phrases, any affirmations, or anything that might seem to limit us. We are open on the top. And University of Healing is open all over the place. We are open, we are open for everything. And I'm sure that's what Ernest Holmes meant too. But let's take advantage of that. Follow through in sports brings success. So too, follow through in life is the practice of what I believe, which leads to its success. Perfect speed is being there. Kind of nice. I love you. I love you. I love you.